Welcome to Easy Knowing. I'm Sherry Kennedy, and I am just thrilled to have you join me today. Of course, I'd love to have you call in and share your story. The number is 773-897-6227. Now that's 773-897-6227. So if what we talk about today creates a question or motivates you to share a story you've had from a similar experience, please call, because what you share, everybody benefits from. So today I wanted to kind of review the things that we talked about the last couple of shows, especially with how the old ways are not working anymore and why, but also about the judgments and how we have to be balanced on all levels with each of the needs, because we're judging ourselves based on our inability to meet our needs. If we were good, if we were better, if we were this, if we were that, if we were something else that we create in our minds to justify deserving to have our needs met, then blah, 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 we would do so. So it's a way that we survive, in a sense. It's kind of cockeyed. It's definitely cockeyed, but it is also the way that we survive our conditioning and programming, because it is so harsh and so against everything that our heart knows. And we're living in two different ways, in a sense. We talked last week a little bit about the ego being the shadow self. But in a lot of ways, the spirit has been the shadow self, because the spirit has been the one has been denied and negated. And the things that were always human, that were always rightfully ours, are the things that were taken away. And I think ego jumped up in front and said, hey, okay, I got to keep you safe. So let's see how this game is played, and make sure you play it 100%. And not only that, but let's make you the best at it. And that game is the conditioning and programming of believing all of the things that are not true about ourselves, of believing all of the conditioning and programming. I wanted to give you just a little different perspective on that. Of course, it's in line with everything I've been saying, but in our conditioning programming, it's what you're taught to believe that you are not. You're taught to believe that you are created imperfect, that you must change, that you are without value and worth, that you are unlovable, that you are without purpose or importance, and that you must judge yourself and others constantly. That whole statement is about trying to be what you are not. And when you are trying to be what you are not, that can only create the hate, the anger, the resentment, and the fear. Our truth, what actually is that we are created perfect, we are flawless, we can do anything. We are the only one of us there is, and we are a beautiful, radiant, rare, and precious cosmic miracle. And so is everyone else. And when you embrace that and be who you are, all that can do is create love. So when we live in a world where the food source has been fear, can you see why the conditioning and programming was so relentless and so imposed upon us? These are all things that we are not. But it has been handed down to us for, 13 millennia of who we are, of telling us that we're not who we know we are. This is the first time in all of that time, in the last 20 years, 30 years, that there has been this much light vibrating on the planet. Because Gaia decided, no, I'm done. This is it. I am evolving. I am going back to who I am, and I am a fifth dimensional being. And as she put out that call, then heaven responded, and that's why we're doing what we're doing now. We have to vibrate in resonance with Gaia. And as Gaia is going to the fifth dimension, we're going to go with her, whether we like it or not, whether we go kicking and screaming, but we're going to go too. or else we won't be able to survive in the vibration of the planet. So there are a whole lot of other reasons and explanations of why we're going where we're going, but ultimately it boils down to humanity is evolving. We are becoming the galactic beings, the galactic humans that we actually have always been. So all we're talking about through this process is the ways that this information and this truth has been denied us, and the things that we need or that would serve us and assist us to pay attention to help us unravel this tangled web that has been woven. So we've talked about why the old ways work. Well, that's just, that's a vibrational thing. And judgments keep the vibration down. Judgments are literally the key to letting go of the conditioning and programming, because everything about the conditioning and programming is based on the judgments. And this is what we have to begin to become aware of from a different perspective, from looking at what we know from a different, shifting the crystal, seeing it from a different belief, from a different awareness. Even in our own backyards, if we are standing in the east and looking at the north, south, and west, it's going to be a much different view than if we go stand in the west and look at the north, south, and east. Or we move ourselves to any other place, and we will see a completely different perspective. That's what I call shifting the crystal. We have to become aware. When I talk about the core beliefs, core beliefs are the ways, in a sense, that we have learned to survive the conditioning and programming. Because it's the minute that we come into this planet, the minute that we are born and that umbilical cord is cut, we lose all memory, all knowing, all awareness. We begin our journey of being conditioned and programmed. And it's not just through the words and the ways that we are taught. It's through the energetic fields. It's through the emotion that just because we can't see it, we feel it on the planet. We know it. We understand it. And an example of that is if somebody's angry, they can walk into a room and not say anything, and everybody in the room is going to know they're angry. Or if they're happy, same thing. We read energy. We've just never called it that. We've never given credence to that aspect of it because we're not supposed to do that. Again, based on our conditioning and program. Belief, the master decision that was to be or become non-disturbed. We want our humanity. We want our humanness back. We want our humanity back. We want to be who we've always been. And in this world, we were told we couldn't have that. So that has become our mission, to be or become non-disturbed. And the way that we're going to do that is that we've learned that if we have our own way, then it makes us happy. We're non-disturbed in that moment. Or we will, the what-if game that we play, that's nothing more than to think the thing makes it so. Because if you get all caught up in the what-ifs and you stop and think about it, you will realize that a lot of the time, a very high percentage of the time, we literally react to the what if we have created based on our perception of any given situation that we have just perceived. And not only do we do it once, we do it again, because we do the what if within the what if. And then we just keep going in this whole vicious cycle and reacting to everything that we are thinking, believing it to be true on some level. Well, I know it's not true, but what if it is true? We refuse to let go of it. That's to think a thing makes it so. And we think that if we go there often enough and long enough that we can control it, we can have power over it, we can make it okay. And then we also learn that it's important to please others, that when we do what other people like and they're nice to us, that feels good. So from just that one little experience alone, we're going to keep trying to please others so that we can get that feeling. This is just like a junkie wanting a fix. We're wanting to be or become non-disturbed. And you have to recognize how it's not happening before you can make it happen, because otherwise you will self-sabotage. So then we learn that, okay, if we don't ever question the authorities, if we play along and we keep our mouth shut and we don't rock the boat, then we're safe. Everything's going to be okay. Just do and believe as we're told by our authorities. And at that point, everybody's an authority to us. And then we learn, oh, well, maybe if I change and become what everybody else wants me to be, then I'll be okay. Then everyone will like me. The problem with that is that, number one, we've got so many people's opinions swirling around in our head and in our minds about who we're supposed to be or not be that we haven't got a starting place to changing ourselves so everyone will like us. And then we go more into fear, and then we just don't do anything, and then we beat ourselves up because we didn't do anything to change ourselves, to make ourselves like everybody else wanted us to be, and blah, blah, blah. Then we kind of get pissed off about it, and then we say, well, if only he, she, the it, or they would change, I'd be okay. It's not me, it's them. They're the one that has the problem. They need to do this different. They need to do it another way, blah, blah. Because whenever we're not trying under that pressure, then again, we have that, just enough of that feeling of to be or become non-disturbed that we keep going back for it. And then, of course, you know, we learn that everybody who's important is important. If you're important, you get treated special. You get treated different. You know, I always thought it was just the strangest thing that the people who had the most and made the most money in this world are the ones who are given the most. It seemed like such a contradiction in my mind. But it's what has been. And all of these core beliefs are simply a cockeyed way we dreamed up to figure out how to have comfort and pleasure and attention and acceptance and approval and importance and value. All we're trying to do is meet our needs. Because in meeting our needs, we become non-disturbed. And that's the key to it, in a sense. As long as we are judging, which is the core beliefs are all about judgment. And as long as we are judging, we are giving our power away to someone else. We are making what we think and feel and say and do wrong. We're not even giving ourselves the option of it possibly being good. No, 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 no. We just go right down that wrong road and we run at high speed. Because again, if I was important, if everybody liked me, if I wasn't this, if I was different, then I would have all of this stuff because all the people who are important do. We have so much misinformation that we have carried as truth throughout our lives. And we've never questioned it. It never occurred to us to question. Because in truth, there wasn't any point at that time in our existence because we didn't have the energy to support it doing different. All we were doing was surviving. And whether we were conscious of surviving or not does not negate the fact that we were surviving. Because if you felt hate, anger, fear, or resentment, you were surviving. Because the threat to our survival is the only thing that can release that energy within us. And it's a constant river flowing into us. We are constantly in a state of threat. So we are constantly in a state of survival. And the powers that be long ago learned that if they could keep us from releasing that in a positive way for us, then they could have a food source for eternity. Because if we stuffed it, if we stuffed the feelings, the emotions, the energy still went out. But as we stuffed the emotions and the feelings, that began to eat on us. That began to create an imbalance. Well, our bodies will automatically seek balance. So the first thing that our bodies do is create accident, illness, injury, disease, or unusual behavior. So those things are ways that we release excessive energy that we stored in our body. You know, and I think that, yes, we are responsible, and yet at the same time, we are not, see if I'm saying this right, these are things that we have not known, that has not been a conscious awareness for us until, again, very, very recently in our history. And even though these, we can look now with hindsight and say, okay, this is what was happening. This is what happened to us then. But now that we're aware of it, we have the power to change it. And that's what being aware of it is all about. You cannot change what you are denying, negating, ignoring, or resisting. You can't. You will not allow yourself to acknowledge that it exists, so you don't have to deal with it. Gaia is saying no more. And Gaia is just constantly raising her vibration. And as she raises her vibration, ours is getting raised, or we're dying. It's that simple. And it's not a very comfortable process. There are a lot of side effects to this that we are feeling on a physical level. But it's something that it's happening for us so that we can release all that has been hidden, all that we have denied. Whether we denied it with intent or with ignorance, it was still denied. And by the actual fact of that, it has been unknown and it needs to be released. It cannot be healed. It cannot be cleared until that happens. And you're feeling it in your lives on the micro level in so many different ways. We all are. How can we not? And yet we are also seeing it manifesting from the micro all the way up to the macro. Look at what's happening with our government, our world as we've known it. It is in chaos it has never experienced. It is bringing to the surface things that have been treated with kid gloves, if even acknowledged at all. Our government has always had the power to ignore what it didn't want to deal with. Or if it was forced to, it would manipulate the situation to drag it out as long as possible so that the energy and the impetus behind it would wane. There's always a purpose to everything that happens. We may not always be privileged to that purpose. And most often we're not until after it has already occurred. That's why they say hindsight is 20/20. So this is some food for thought. These are some things to start connecting the dots with. From the conversations that we've had over the last few shows, how much are you still judging in your life? Have you become aware of how you are judging in ways you didn't think of? And it's one thing to judge on the physical level and keep it purely social and about talking about other people or judging the pure existence. That's all on a physical. But what about the emotional level? How are you judging that? How will you not let yourself cry? How will you not let yourself feel the things you feel? How will you not acknowledge what you do feel? Because you're afraid of how you've already judged it, so you're afraid others will too. Everything that's going on within us is because of us. And everybody goes, oh my God, you mean I'm to blame for all of this? Well, yeah, but it's being done for you. Your soul is evolving. And the best part of that statement, if you hear the core of it, is that if you created it, you can change it. You're in control. You're the one who has the power. But again, if you don't know what it is, or what needs to be changed, what's buried, what's hidden, and there are a lot of jewels buried with stones. Don't think it's just going to be bad things. Because when you open the doors to who you are and to owning your life, you open up so much more magic and the miracles manifest so much quicker than you can even conceive of it because you went down the what if road if it was all bad. We think that everything that we are hiding and denying and negating in ourselves is bad. It's not. It's probably one of the greatest jewels you may have come into this life with. But somewhere along your road, your path, somebody told you it was wrong or bad or ugly or not important or something that made you think that it was a bad thing. So you went and buried it. And you hit it. And you spent your whole life doing so. Look at the talents and the gifts that are coming forth as people begin to live their passion as they begin to acknowledge what really makes them happy. And having the courage to say, wow, maybe I can walk down that road for a little while. Well, what if this happened on that? We never allowed ourselves to do the what if without feeling ashamed or that we had to hide it. Because if other people found out that we were doing a what if, which is nothing more than dreaming in that sense, then we'd get chastised. We'd get told we're stupid. We'd get slapped, get a head slap and told to get back to work or whatever. And how many times is acknowledged? And the beauty about all of this is that as you begin to become aware of this information, you consciously have the choice. Bottom line, that's it. You have the choice, and you can change it, you can keep it, you can alter it, you can do whatever you want to do with it, or you can claim your truth. And you can claim your truth. Whatever, it's your choice. You cannot make a choice you didn't know you had, although that choices that you did, that you were living off of, controlled you with relentlessly. It has to be made consciously. The choices that we make, the awarenesses that we come into, are the aha moments. We have to, if we're going around talking to ourselves out loud, saying, okay, stop beating myself up. Stop that behavior. Stop yelling. Stop getting mad. Just as a way to get your to wake yourself up, so to speak, to throw water in your face, to get your attention and get you out of just the zombie-like stage of the conditioning and programming. To shift the focus. Pay attention to what you're thinking, and when you recognize it, stop it. But one of the most, you have to have something to put in its place. You know, nobody is going to break a habit without a new one being created. And that's what people don't tell us or at least remind us of. And that's really the answer, the core. You know, I love all of these programs, that infomercials that you see on the different internet stuff that says, okay, click here to find out this information. Never eat these three vegetables and have belly fat again. And you never get the answer to that because it's just a hook to get your attention directed elsewhere. This is what's been happening to us. Don't let your attention get directed elsewhere thinking that somebody else has the jewel. The only thing that people don't tell you and that we forget to remember is that once you start breaking a habit, you have to have something to replace it with. And I don't care what that habit is. Whether it's a behavior, whether it's an addiction, whether it's whatever. If you do not have something to replace it with, you will go back to what is familiar. It takes 21 consecutive repetitions to create a habit. So as you use those 21 repetitions to break the old habit, you're creating the habit of the new way, which means you have to have the new way in place. So what are you going to do? How are you going to talk to yourself if you don't beat yourself up? What are you going to say to honor yourself, to respect yourself, to value yourself? You know volumes of what to say to put yourself down and to make yourself wrong and ugly and less than and unimportant and undervalued and not acceptable and on and on and on. I mean, you've got volumes. We all do. So how big is the book of your gifts, of who you are, of who you truly are? You know, one of the things that I tell my students is, okay, so you made a mistake. You know, this is about the thing of I'm sorry. I really am opposed to using that word. It is so offensive to me. So say oops. It's okay just to say wow. That was interesting. That was an experience. I get to learn something from this. Instead of saying, oh, I'm so stupid, I messed up. And it's habit. It's just habit to talk to ourselves that way. And you have to remember that it's habit. And as you are doing this, you are reinforcing the truth of who you are, a beautiful, radiant, rare, and precious cosmic miracle, a spiritual being having a human experience. And your experience will be like none other. Nobody has ever lived your lives, plural, felt your feelings, felt your hurts, your pains, or any of the things you felt it. And if, sure, they had their own, but they never felt it the way you did. Nobody ever will. Nobody ever can. You are a unique, an incredibly unique being. And I'm telling you true. If you're on the planet at this time, you are a master and you have been given permission to be here because nobody could bring what you brought to this end time, and what you have was needed. So quit playing small. Step up, step into who you are, and quit playing the role of victim. I can tell you all of the different ways, and I'm going to share a few of those with you. But right now I'm going to take, and I would love to invite you to give me a call. Talk about what's going on in your life. Are you using any of the tools that I'm sharing? Are they making a difference? Do you have a question? All of those things are what this show is all about, to give you an opportunity to do it different and to have a nice, safe way to do that. So the number is 773-897-6227. That's 773-897-6227. I would also like to welcome those who may be just joining us at this time to the show, and remind everyone else that if it is not something that you are comfortable doing as far as calling in, go to my website, easyknowing.com, and click on the last tab, which is Services and Donations, and it has a section where you can order my book, where you can send me a personal email, a question. I will always respond to them. And you can also make a donation if you feel that my work is helping you and it is serving you and the greater good. I would be honored, and I would love to be able to assist on a more one-on-one level if you want to go on that route as opposed to giving us a phone call. So, again, that number is 773-897-6227. Okay, so now I wanted to continue the discussion that we're having about the tools, the ways that we are being conditioned programming, and the tools that you can use to recognize when you are in that state of the game. You know, and again, it's not good or bad or right or wrong. Our conditioning programming has really been necessary. Because as spiritual beings having a human experience, we came here to evolve. We came here, in spite of all the negatives or all of the seeming disillusions of this realm, we have free will and free choice. That in itself is the purpose for all of this happening. That is so deep and wide. We have no clue because we're in the trees. We can't see the forest because we are within the trees. And everything that we are experiencing and the way that we are learning it is absolutely unique. And all of this knowledge and wisdom that we are gathering as the humans that we have been in the third dimension is going to go with us. You know, we will take it with us wherever we go, whatever we do, whether we pass away, whether we evolve, whether we ascend, whatever we do, what we learn stays with us. Our conscious awareness is intact and we become more conscious. And that's all that this is doing, is that our ascension is a process of opening the doors that were closed to us. We're remembering things we've always known. And we're starting to see proof that we are not crazy, that we're not all that we have been taught we were if we accept and allow this reality to shift and become what it truly is. If you haven't already done so, do so right now. Write down what your basic core needs are. There's only seven of them. And we all have them. And this is what we have been controlled by. This is what we have judged and been judged through. And these are needs that must be experienced on all levels, the emotional, the mental, the spiritual. We have to experience this and meet these needs for ourselves to be able to recognize and or share it with another. Because otherwise, it's about control and manipulation if there's not the awareness in it. Okay, so the first one is comfort and pleasure. Third one is attention, then acceptance, then approval, then importance, then worth and value, or value. And remember that these needs are connected to the core beliefs, that the core beliefs were created to meet these core needs. So comfort and pleasure, two beliefs of I want to have my own way now, and the master decision of be or become non-disturbed, that's what these two needs are trying to create. But on all levels, it's not just enough to have a comfy chair or comfortable shoes. You have to be comfortable in your emotions, in your mind, in your heart. That's what it's all about. Attention and acceptance. These are connected to, I want to have my own way and to think a thing makes it so. The what if game. How it's always trying to figure out how to make it happen. And then approval and importance goes with, approval goes with it's important to please others and just do and believe as you're told by authority. You know, that approval is a lot. That's the biggie. All righty, I'm going to pause here for a minute. I see we got a phone call. And I would like to ask you to turn down your computer, and you are on the air. Hi. To whom am I speaking?
Chris, I just tuned in.
Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? Oh, I just tuned in. I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Well, you had given us a call, so I was just opening the line to see if you had anything you wanted to share.
Oh, I just usually listen over the phone instead of the computer.
Oh, okay. Not a problem.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm just checking in. I didn't disconnect you, did I?
No.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Learning how to work technology is always fun. Okay, so what I want to do now is remind you that the approval is one of the big carrots, so to speak, one of the ways that the powers that be dangle all of the other benefits in front of us is the approval, because that really is connected to getting other people to like you or else getting other people to except you when you haven't. Oh, I see we have another call. All righty, let me just push this little button and hello. You're on the air.
Am I on?
You are on. Who
see,
is this?
Seriously.
Hi, Lise. I'm so glad you called. I'm glad you got to listen
well,
in.
Yes, me too. So, I'm calling about something we may have touched on in the past because we've talked about so many different things.
Right.
But it's this whole thing about ready, aim, fire, or ready, fire, aim. Like when someone's about ready to make a decision, how do they know if they're making it as a knee-jerk reaction or as part of their path?
The fact that you can ask the question and have the awareness is your answer. If it was a knee-jerk reaction, you would just be reacting to the situation. A decision is made with conscious awareness. And a decision is usually made pretty easily. It's following through with a decision that is hard. You know, we really, when we're listening to our hearts and we know what's going on, we really are able to, we know what we want to do. following through with the decision is where it's the issue, because then it goes into judgment. Then it goes into, well, what if I'm wrong? What if this, and you go into playing the what if game. And I just, my feeling on that is, if you're going to play the what if game, then you got to play it on both sides of the coin, so to speak. What if everything I ever wanted manifest as a result of the choice that I'm making? Instead of, what if I'm making a big mistake and ruining my life? I mean, come on. Which feels better, and which one would you want manifesting in your world? Lisa, I apologize your call dropped, but I hope that answered your question. It's really just follow your heart. Your heart always knows. And we have had a tendency to downgrade our hearts. You're not thinking, you're not being in your head, you're not being smart. When the heart brain is the supercomputer, the head brain is the little laptop that it runs it or runs off of it. So our power is really, really in the heart brain. Okay, so let's see. Hello, is this Lise again?
Yes. No, you didn't drop calls in these red rocks.
Oh, why would it ever do that?
Really. But I think we're clear now. We're good to go. So
good.
So
thank
you. Brain.
Yes, heart brain. Always heart brain. And trust it. And you know, and following through with what we were talking about earlier, that's really what we're learning to do. All of these tools, all of this information are just tools and techniques that assist us to discover and trust our heart brain.
Well, for instance, there's this knowing that says, oh, sure, you've made this decision, and since you've started there, you can go ahead and just wait it out just to be sure you're making the right decision to change your mind. And a lot of people do that in relationships or work or different things. And
okay, you're breaking up again, girl.
I have to speak for a minute.
Okay.
So well, it doesn't take having to be somewhere or in something for months on.
Lise, you're breaking up, honey. We're not able to hear what you're saying.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So what I was saying is that whether it's relationships or work, which of course is more relationships, it's
true.
Oftentimes people will say, well, I have to stay in this longer so that I'm making sure that I'm making the right decision. When your knowing is telling you, right at, within minutes sometimes, or within
seconds.
Days or weeks, seconds, yeah. It doesn't take years and months to have to verify your knowing.
Absolutely not. But again, that's part of that conditioning and programming. If the powers that be can make us think that that's what it's going to take, then, oh, sure, go ahead and think that. It's not going to threaten us for a long time because you're going to get all tangled up. You know, it's a decision. When you follow your heart, when you listen to that knowing that you have, the decision is easy. It's following through with the decision that's made that is the challenge, because that's when ego jumps in and starts helping. That's when ego starts judging and going, oh, yes, but. Because for you to have that instant knowing is what makes ego feel unsafe.
Oh, that's a really good way of looking at it. Because ego doesn't like change, I don't think.
No, because remember, ego's job is to keep us safe. And as long as we are status quo, we're safe. I mean, we've got a little wiggle room, but not a whole lot in ego's mind. So any time that we start getting to the edge of the box we're in, ego starts going, come back here, da-da-da-da. Just like an overprotective parent trying to keep the child, you know, safe. But, you know, the child's going to get to that point where they're going to want to explore life. And that's what what's happening with us. Part of waking up is recognizing that we're in a box.
Yeah. I think you can have a bowl of crap and the water is close by.
Okay, I'm going to stop you. Whoa, because you're breaking up. Start over. We couldn't understand what you said. Please.
The analogy of the bowl, the bowl's right there on the beach by the water, and one of the crabs says, I'm going for the water.
And all the
other crabs pulling back in the bowl.
Yes, absolutely. Instead
that
of working.
That could be family. That could be friends.
Say that again.
Yeah. The crabs pulling you back in the bowl can be family, can be friends, can be all kinds of.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And who would think that crabs would be such a mirror of our behaviors? But we have been, we've cut our teeth on competition. Can you imagine for just a second what would happen to our world if we started working in cooperation? What happened if those crabs started using each other as a ladder and all of them created a way for all to get out?
To get out of the bowl.
Instead of it being, exactly, the bowl would be empty. Think about what would happen in our world if instead of competing with everybody thinking, oh, there's not enough, of saying,
yeah,
hey, there's plenty for everybody. How can I help you get yours?
Yeah. It would be such a different world.
Yes, it would. But this is how we change the world, is that we do it one person at a time. One person at a time decides, I'm going to live in cooperation. One person at a time starts manifesting the behavior to make that true. And that energy spreads. And believe me, light spreads a lot faster and more than dark does. Just because we've lived the illusion of it being different doesn't make it so. But the light will always manifest more and quicker.
So, what else have you been talking about on the show?
This is where you need to listen to the show, darling. We're talking a lot about judgments and how they manifest in different ways. Are you there? Okay. Well, I think I lost Lise again, so that was fun. Thanks for calling. I really enjoyed having that conversation. So getting back to the different levels that we've got to release those judgments or meet those needs on is really where our power is. When we meet our own needs, we stop giving away other people, giving our power away to other people to do it. And they'll do it as long as we're meeting their needs too. But one of the sneaky things is we always talk about the survival energies, the hate, anger, fear, and resentment. Those come from the love. Emotions come from the love of self. If you didn't innately love you and honor and respect and value you, you would not feel threatened whenever all of those things within you are threatened. You wouldn't feel the need to survive. These energies which come from love are designed to help you survive. It's what we do with them that makes them positive or negative, that makes them help us or hurt us. Because anger can be a very, and hate can be a very, very positive emotion and energy to create change. You know, that's what's happening now. all of the hate that has been buried and stuff, the anger is coming up. But look at the change that it's making. It's releasing the stuck energy from the earth. It's bringing it to our consciousness so we can say, wow, I didn't know that was there or didn't think it was that big a deal. So let's, what can we do to fix it? Whereas before, we were never even listening or aware of it. Or it would be in our peripheral. It didn't affect us directly, so it didn't matter. Same thing with fear and resentment. It's creating change too. It can either paralyze you and stop you in your tracks and put you in harm's way, or it can be your best friend and guide you through the minefields. These emotions are neutral. They come from the love, and they are designed to assist us in our survival. And sometimes, there's no judgment on the energy except how it affects us. And that's what's important. But the powers that be have also come up with three other emotions that come from the dark and will never return from the light. They don't come from the light. And, of course, the three that I'm referring to are guilt, jealousy, and obligation. These emotions are based in the victim consciousness. No one is a victim. We all made the choice to be here. We were given permission to be here. We yelled and cheered, and we chose our parents. We made our soul agreements. You know, this is a magnificent time. None of us are victims. We are living out the choices to have a human experience within the realm that we are in, the third dimension. We knew all this coming in, and we still made the choice. We still wanted to be here because we knew what it would do for us, how it would evolve all of humanity, how this experiment in free will and free choice and our ascension will affect all of creation, past, present, and future. This is a bigger deal than we have any idea. And a lot of where we're coming from, you know, it's like, well, I don't want to be a part of it. It sucks. Yeah, that's true too. It absolutely is. But remember, it's all coming to be and passing away and not that which abides. You've got to keep your vision focused on that which abides. And right now, that's your heart. That's your truth of being a beautiful, radiant, rare, and precious cosmic miracle. You know, judgments are based on the comparisons. You just can't compare yourself to anyone or anything. Your way of getting comfort and attention and acceptance and approval on the emotional, the mental, the spiritual, and the physical is not going to be like anybody else's. But you've got to remember to meet that need on all the levels. You know, and as far as the core fears are concerned, again, these are just simply tools to help you recognize behavior and actions and choices that were made without conscious awareness. And whether you're aware of it or not, a belief is your rule of action until it is recognized and changed. All of our false beliefs were not made by us consciously. They were made as a result of our interpretation of what we experienced and how we experienced and how we watched how other people and the authorities and the adults and the around us reacted. We are a very sensory being, and we don't give it near the credence or the acceptance that it needs. So shifting your crystal, looking at these things from a different way, will help you see what is rather than what you thought it was, or what you've been told it's supposed to be. Whose life are you living? And bottom line, it's time to live your own. We can't do it the old way anymore. It just will not work. So I wanted to quickly address the core fears, which are abandonment and separation, trust and surrender, worth and value. Now remember, these are how we experience and express our fear. Everybody will function off of one or two, but there's one that that everybody will not have an effect on them. And that's up to each person to discern. So you look at how you start expressing, how you experience. You go into, is it about trust? You know, is it about being controlled and manipulated? Because that's what surrender is, you know. If it is, don't judge it. Don't make it good or bad or right or wrong, but just take a look at it. Be friends with it. Okay, what is it about this? Why don't you trust? Who are you not trusting? And become friends with the way you experience and express your fears, so that instead of the fears controlling you, they are assisting you. You're not running down the hallway screaming, feeling like somebody's chasing you with a big old butcher knife, but this fear is standing right next to you and giving you tools and a way to deal with the situation. And it may not be easy, but I guarantee you it's the hardest easy thing you'll ever do. You know, because it really is easy. What's hard is figuring it out. What's hard is shifting the crystal. What's hard is doing it different, because we don't want to be out of our comfort zone. We don't want to shake the boat. And, you know, truth is, sometimes that boat needs to be just dumped over and everybody in it. And you get to choose, you know, whose life are you living? Whose choices are you making? If they're yours, bravo, woohoo. You know, we're going to do more happy dance for you. But if they're not, it's through your conditioning and program, through what you think it's supposed to be, or your perception of what a good little student or a good little housewife or a good little man or a good, whatever it is, whatever your version of that is, whose is it? You know, how do you define man? How do you define woman? How do you define worker, employee, CEO? You know, I mean, you have to make these choices based on you, not on anything else. We all have the dictionary definition of the different words that we use. But let's face it, the English language speaks in a lot more than just words and definitions. When you say the word wedding, it conjures up a whole lot more than just the union of two people. or the celebration of the union of two people. I mean, think about what we do with the words. It's important. It's important to look at what we and think about what the different words mean and how we use them. That is so important as well. But right now, focus on staying out of judgment. Focus on you, who you really are, not who you've been told you're supposed to be. And if you have an inkling of that, then do it. Live it. Explore it. Expand it. Have an adventure with it. But remember, wherever you are and whatever you are doing, whether you love it or hate it, whether you think it's good, bad, right, or wrong, it's exactly where you need to be in this moment for your highest good, for the growth of your soul. So don't resist it. Don't fight it. Just recognize where you are. Acknowledge it and let it be okay to be there, because you're there for a reason. You may not know the reason for a long time, and you may know it the minute you accept it, but you will not know it a second before that. Acceptance is the key. Tolerance of what you cannot change. Accepting all that is for just being what it is. And if you have to put a label on it, start seeing what the gift is in. Because there is never, ever, ever a negative without a positive. There's always going to be a gift in it, some way, shape, or form. And there's always going to be a lesson in whatever it is. So see what we're learning from it. See what we're getting out of this opportunity. Why is it pissing us off? Why is it making us angry? Why is it creating fear? What are we really afraid of? And is it the fear of all that they're saying, or is it the fear that's coming out of our gut saying, no, this is a violation of my rights? explore the feelings you have without judgment. It gets kind of fun when you do it, actually. Because when you're not making good or bad or right or wrong, there's nothing to defend. There's nothing to challenge. There's nothing, you know, to protect. It's just a whole different way of experiencing and expressing. So give it a try. See what it manifests in your world. See how you can do it different. We always have a choice. And remember, we are breaking habits. We are breaking the habit of the conditioning and programming. We're breaking the habits of the old ways. We're breaking the habits of what just doesn't work anymore, even though it might have worked before. We're just vibrating different. Friends that you've been friends with for years will suddenly go out of your life. Or people that you haven't seen in years will suddenly come back into your life. Everything happens for a reason. Always keep in the forefront the soul agreements, the soul connections that we've made, our soul families that are walking beside us, whether they be in physical form or not. This is a big deal, and you are a very important part of it. And it's up to you to remember it and claim it, because everybody in the world can tell it to you. But until you believe it within your own heart, within your own mind, you will keep experiencing what is not true. And the universe will let you. Say, why has God forsaken me? Why am I being punished? You're not being punished. You're wallowing in it. And you get to wallow in it for as long as you want with no judgment. Humans, you know, are the only ones who hold the judgment, really. It's because of this world. And as we learn not to judge, I always have to laugh whenever the humans put the judgments as a personality or a character trait of Creator. It's so not true. It's acceptance, it's love, it's worth, it's value, it's you are everything you already want to be. All you're doing is waking up to that fact. All you're doing is being pushed beyond your comfort zone so that you can't deny it anymore. So nobody's a victim. Nothing is being done to us. But heaven and earth is being moved for us. Literally. And we're getting rewired, we're getting downloaded. All of this information is coming to us from many, many different sources. The phantom aches and pains, things like a lot of people are experiencing symptoms of vertigo. And it's and headaches and mood and memory and sleep patterns changing. This is the rewiring of the brain. That old junk DNA is finally being utilized. So if you have sudden eye and ear aches, your vision and hearing centers are being rewired and activated in a different way. So I'm getting prompted that I pretty much talked out the whole show. So I thank you for listening. I really do appreciate the calls. Lise, thank you for sharing your humor and your wisdom with us. And hope to see you next week. Please send me, go to the website, send me an email. And so until next time, follow your heart's soul, paint the world with the colors of your soul. Bye-bye.